Good morning and welcome to JFK Spotlight on Health. It's where we highlight the groundbreaking work that's being done at JFK University Medical Center in Edison. It's part of the Hackensack Meridian Health Network. I'm Joel Katz, and joining me this morning, Melanie Cardona, Nurse Manager, Pediatric Emergency Department at JFK University Medical Center. Good morning, Melanie.
Good morning, Joel. How are you?
You ready for Halloween?
Yeah, I love Halloween. It's a fun time, especially for our children.
Yes, absolutely. And being a pediatric emergency nurse manager, you know all about children. So I'd like to talk about today, and we discussed this beforehand, how to have a safe Halloween where the children are involved. There's a lot of safety measures that need to be taken. Some people don't know about them, some people ignore them, but we're going to talk about them here. So in order to have a safe and fun Halloween, what's the first thing that we need to know?
Well, one of the first things that we need to know when we're keeping the emphasis on safety on Halloween is to look and feel safe. So we want to wear costumes that say flame resistant on the label. If you make your costumes, use flame-resistant fabrics. These include polyester, nylon, or wool. Wearing bright, reflective costumes or add strips of reflective tape so when you move around, you're more visible. You can also accessorize with lighter jewelry or glow sticks, and carrying a flashlight is also a great option. You want to make sure the costumes aren't so long that you're in danger of tripping and falling.
Mm-hmm.
Makeup and hats rather than costumes that have masks that obscure your vision.
Like those old masks with the plastic mask and up against your face when you're trying to breathe. Those type of masks, they're not recommended.
Yes. They're coming back into popularity.
Are they really? The ones with the rubber band that snaps the first time you put it on?
Yes, but they're very small. The small eye holes, which makes it difficult for people to see where they're going.
Yeah. Well, even those, I want to call them rubber masks, but they're more like some kind of silicone or something that go over the entire head, and they're hard to see out of as well.
Agreed. So that's why we want to think about maybe wearing makeup and hats rather than masks that make it very difficult to see. And so there's some key tips on some makeup safety that I'd like to share.
Okay. Before we jump into that, I just wanted to say, are there actually costumes that are flammable? They're still making things that will catch on fire?
Yes, there are still costumes that are produced that you can find that will catch on fire, and they even put it on the label, but... You know, people want to wear fashionable, the hottest trends, and you have to be mindful when picking your costume selection.
Yeah, that's a good thing to mention, because I just assumed that why would they make anything flammable? Like, you know, there was a thing with pajamas as well. But yeah, I guess never assume, right? All right, so let's get into the makeup. So what should we be concerned about when it comes to putting makeup on our kids?
When we test the makeup, you want to at least test it at least 24 to 48 hours in advance. And to do this, you're going to put a small amount on the arm of the person who will be wearing it. And if you see a rash, redness, swelling, or other signs of irritation develop where the makeup was applied, this is a sign that of a potential or possible allergy.
Mm.
When you also thinking about these vibrantly colored makeups that are very popular around Halloween, you want to check the FDA's list of color additives to see if the colors are FDA approved. If they aren't approved for their intended use, don't use them, especially when we're putting makeup around the eyes.
Well, this is great, because I wouldn't even think of that. When you talk about color additives, I think about it in food, but I guess I wouldn't have thought about that in makeup. And yes, you look at the ingredients, and then you check those ingredients to make sure they're safe.
Correct, and you want to make sure that you're getting the makeup from a reputable company.
I can't believe my kids made it this far.
There's a lot of things to think of.
With everything that I don't know.
There's a lot of things, and there's new information always circulating, so we want to make sure that we're keeping our kids safe.
Yeah, so we talked about the makeup. What else do we want to be careful about?
There's contact lenses. People think they're fun, and they're different colors and to change the appearance of the eye, but you don't want to wear decorative contact lenses because it can pose a risk of injury to your eye unless you've been seen by a healthcare professional for a proper fitting and been given instructions on how to use these lenses.
Yeah, that seems like a no-brainer to me. I don't want to put anything in my eye. That seems kind of crazy to me.
Yeah, but these are popular with the teens who want to give themselves a cat eye appearance mm-hmm. or the color of their looks, and they can get them without seeing the proper professionals that need to prescribe them and give them the instructions.
Right, just to buy something in a costume store and then put it in your eye just doesn't seem to make sense. So you want to follow those procedures. All right, then we got other type of colorings, right? Hair coloring.
Yeah, to minimize the risk of allergic reactions when it comes to processing and coloring hair, I recommend using temporary hair dye, which only coats the hair and is not absorbed into the hair shaft. You want to avoid direct contact with dye on the skin of the scalp and always adequately ventilate the area. And always follow the instructions on the back of the hair dye packages.
When you say temporary, what you're talking about, you wouldn't want to permanently dye your hair, but you're saying, is this coming like a spray, those sprays that you get? Is that what you're talking about?
Sprays, or it can come into, it looks like regular hair dye, but it's temporary and it'll wash out in one or two uses.
Mm-hmm. But with the spray, how do you avoid getting that on your scalp?
You want to make sure that you are just sticking more to the roots and towards the end of the hair shaft.
Right. Okay. For longer hair, that makes sense. And you're talking about the that'll take care of the problem. That'll take care of what you want to accomplish for the costume. There's a lot of safety features here. Okay. Now, what about when it comes to the food or the candy that the kids... Now, we all know, make sure the kids don't eat the candy before it's inspected, but that doesn't always happen.
Correct. And there's a lot of things to think about when we talk about food safety. Food allergens and general safety concerns make it so important to be mindful when we're giving and receiving treats as well as consuming them. So, like you said, you don't want to eat candy until it's been inspected at home. One thing you can do is eat a snack before heading out to avoid that temptation of digging into the treat bag before it's been inspected. In case of a food allergy, you always want to check the label to ensure the allergen isn't present. Tell children not to accept or eat anything that isn't commercially wrapped. Mm-hmm. Parents... Young children should avoid and remove small choking hazards, which are gum, peanuts, hard candies, small toys from the Halloween bag. And you want to inspect these commercially wrapped treats for signs of tampering, such as unusual appearance or discoloration, tiny pinholes or tears in the wrappers, and then throw away anything that looks suspicious.
Yeah, of course. So you said anything that's not commercially wrapped. So you're talking about the Ziploc bags that many parents, I assume, used to give out. I can't imagine somebody's putting loose candy into a bag now, or even not just candy, or apples or something like that. Is that still something that's going on with everything that's happened through the years? People are still giving, making their own little candy bags?
Yeah, it's still possible that they're making still candy bags or making large batches of small treats such as popcorn or brownies and then putting them in wrapped
right,
aluminum baggies. That's not really safe.
Yeah, they just get a bunch of, they get a big bag of stuff to save money. Now, yeah, obviously we don't want to eat that. Let me ask you this, though. I had a thought when you mentioned the allergies, Should we, is it responsible because of all the food allergies the kids have and all kinds of, obviously every kind of child is going trick or treating, is it best for to not give out candy that, say, has peanuts in it?
Yeah, it's best to try to be thoughtful and avoid ingredients such as peanuts, as that is a high allergen but there are many other allergens that children have that are in candies that we might not know about. So there's the option of foregoing candy altogether and following the Teal Pumpkin Project.
Right. Could you tell us about that? That's where they would have the teal pumpkin on their step when you're trick-or-treating, and what does that represent?
Yeah, so this is a fun way to help children and adults to stay safe from food allergens. So like you said, a teal pumpkin on the doorstep or in front of your house means that you're providing non-food treats. And the good news is that Halloween can be just as fun for kids with food allergies, and some of the safe things that we can do is stock up on safe treats or inexpensive trinkets or toys to trade for any unsafe things your child may receive. Like we said, enforcing a no eating while trick-or-treating rule so you have time to review the food labels. We can give some non-food treats such as glow sticks, bracelets, rings, notepads, bookmarks, stickers, bubbles,
iPads, iPhones.
They might get a little expensive. We have, but the list is endless of what you can be creative in to give a non-food treat item. If your child does have an allergy, you always want to make sure that you have an epinephrine auto-injector, commonly referred to as an EpiPen, available if prescribed. You want to also keep in mind that the mini size, fun size, or bite size version of candy may contain different ingredients than their full size
counterparts.
So you want to make no assumptions and read all labels carefully. You want to keep the emphasis on the fun rather than the candy. So you can start a tradition by allowing your kid to leave their unsafe candy out for the Good Witch to collect, and then leave behind small gifts and safe treats for your children to find.
Trading them out. Yeah. Well, getting back to the allergens in the candy, is there anything, any type of food that a house can offer? And I know you said for the Teal Project, it's no food. But is there any type of food where you're safe with all allergies, or 99% of them, or a large percentage of them, that a food or candy that you can give out that is safe for all?
It's very difficult because a lot of foods might be made in a plant that has the allergen, so you can't say with 100% certainty. But however, like pretzels are a better option. But then you have to think about, you know, other types of like gluten allergies and things of that nature.
Yeah, that's interesting. That's interesting because I'm thinking, yeah, if there's got to be something, but yeah, pretzels is a good example, I think. But just to reiterate, it's never 100%.
Another option besides trading out your treats is thinking about if you want to have your child participate in the trick-or-treating experience, is to make small and safe goodie bags with candies that you know are safe for them, and distribute them to their neighbors to give out in advance. So encourage your neighbors to hand out the goodie bags to your child when they're trick-or-treating at their houses in which you have delivered in advance.
That is an interesting idea, especially with streets where, you know, a lot of streets don't get a whole lot of trick-or-treaters, but the younger kids will go around to the neighbors. That could be fun. I feel like that could lead to something like down the road. You know, I jokingly said iPads or iPhones, but if you're giving the gift for your child to the neighbor, they can really get something that's pretty exciting if it's coming from you, right? Obviously, the neighbor's not going to spend that kind of money, but maybe not something that much money, but something that they like that maybe costs a little bit more. You know what I mean?
Right, or candy that they can have. So it still allows them to feel like they are participating in the holiday and they don't feel excluded.
Some kids have to actually skip trick-or-treating altogether because of the dangers, right?
Well, that's what the nice thing about the goodie bags are. So as a parent, you know what their allergens are and what kind of snacks that they can have. So you're preparing the decorative goodie bag with things that they can have so they can go to their neighbors and pick up these bags that you previously distributed.
We're talking with Melanie Cardona, nurse manager, pediatric emergency department, JFK University Medical Center. We're going to get into all the safety tips when you're walking around. I know we talk about the masks and the costumes and all. We'll get to that in a moment. Can you give us an example? Working in the emergency room, what are some of the examples that you have seen that that are, you know, kind of scary when it comes to trick-or-treating? Because you're gonna get an emergency room visit at the emergency room on Halloween night, right? It's inevitable.
Yes, of course. And so we've already discussed of the allergens. So we've had people come in, you know, not being diligent. So they come in anaphylaxis, and we've touched upon that. But also you worry about, you know, children that come in after experiencing an accident with a motor vehicle, mm-hmm. so from getting hit by a car, and that could be, you know, life-threatening.
Yeah, yeah, we don't want that. So let's talk about the safety tips for the drivers, and then we can get into the kids as well. I mean, you know, little kids are with their parents usually, but when they get a little bit older, they're going out on their own, so we'll give them some tips to think about. But let's talk about the adults in the cars on Halloween night. I try not to drive at all, because that's just, you know, if you don't have to, don't, with all the kids out there.
Have to, don't is great advice. This way you're home giving out the treats instead.
Yeah.
But some good driving safety tips, definitely be alert for these trick-or-treaters on Halloween, slowing down, continuing to scan the road in areas where they're likely to be or where sight distances are limited, especially if the night is kind of foggy or there's not bright lights around. And on Halloween, there are more likely to be more children on the roads walking around and in places where you normally didn't expect them. So slower speeds definitely save lives. So you want to stay alert for these children who may come out from between parked cars or behind shrubs. You want to stop. You want to wait for them to pass. Always good advice is to not look at your phone while driving. Your attention needs to be always on the road, especially on Halloween where there's more activity. And then if you see a drunk driver on the road, you want to contact law enforcement.
So let's talk about, you know, they have parties at schools as well. I mean, I guess a lot of the rules, the same rules apply when you're having a Halloween party or any Halloween party, whether it be at the school or elsewhere.
Yeah, a lot of schools have opted for no food parties. And then so you skip the treats altogether and replace them with other fun Halloween toys, games, or party favors.
So they have to eat something, right? You bring your own food to eat?
Yeah.
I guess is what's recommended?
Yeah, bringing your own food is recommended because you know what's safe for you.
What other things have you seen that have happened at schools, you know, where an emergency room visit is necessary? Is there anything other than the allergies or, you know, maybe an injury on the playground?
Yeah, so you have these costumes that are too long, and there's a trip and fall, and they, you know, sustain a cut or a laceration or a broken bone. Those are quite common. Allergic reactions to either the makeup or the food, and then those are common, as well as just in general indulging in eating too much candy, and then you'll have a stomach ache for a little bit.
Yeah, don't eat too much. But that's, do you have people coming to the emergency room for that? Like they had
generally,
yeah.
Generally, usually.
Talking with Melanie Cardona, nurse manager, pediatric emergency department at JFK University Medical Center, with Halloween coming in less than a week. Ways to be careful when you're out there to avoid any type of emergencies during Halloween night with your kids. Is there any other things that we didn't mention?
Just when you're going trick-or-treating and having fun, you want to stick to groups. Always trick-or-treat with a friend and avoid wandering mm-hmm. alone. And planning your route and sharing that route with friends or family in advance.
Okay. Well, Melanie, thank you so much. Melanie Cardona, nurse manager at Pediatric Emergency Department at JFK University Medical Center. Hopefully, all these tips that we've given today will help it at least be safer for all the kids when they go out trick-or-treating later on this month. Thank you so much, Melanie.
Thank you so much for having me, Joel. It's important that we keep the emphasis on an enjoyable, fun, safe evening for our children.
For more information, go to jfkmc.org, or for a podcast of this show, you can go to foxsportsradionewjersey.com or magic983.com. JFK Spotlight on Health, brought to you by Hackensack Meridian Health. Keep getting better. I'm Joel Katz, and we will talk again next week.